Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue to harvest some of the gold from John's Gospel. Today, the church gives us the reading from John chapter 8, in which Jesus is engaging the Pharisees, the religious leaders who are trying to trap him. And their relationship, which is already testy, is intensifying significantly. And it's getting very, very dramatic. And here in particular, in chapter 8, there's a kind of climactic engagement as Jesus presses them further and further as they try to trap him. So I want to just take up what the church gives us from chapter 8, verse 21 and following today. It says, "Again he said to them, 'I go away, and you will seek me and die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come.'" Let me read that again. "I go away, and you will seek me and die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come." So he's talking to the religious leaders. Now imagine how shocked they are. Here's this guy who they haven't quite figured out yet. He's got a big, big following. He's prophet something. He's a prophet. He's healing people. He's also disrupting the status quo in different ways. He's taking a different interpretation of what can and cannot happen on the Sabbath and the rest. And so they are upset about his influence, and so they're trying to deal with him, and they're trying to trap him. And so he says these very dramatic things. There's a lot of shocking things that Jesus says to the religious leaders, but to all of us at different places throughout the Gospels. But for my money, John's Gospel is loaded with a lot of things that are very startling. And it's amazing to see what Jesus was actually like. We have images of what Jesus is like. For example, just an analogy. I mean, I've talked about St. Francis on the program over the years. I love St. Francis, probably my favorite saint. And the image of St. Francis that's out there is mainly he was, you know, like an environmentalist, talked to the animals, kind of a gentle spirit, a little bit, I don't know what kind of word to use, but mostly just sort of happy-go-lucky. And St. Francis was so full of joy. St. Francis really did love God's creation, obviously did, and appreciated it. He preached to birds and they listened to him and things like that. That actually did happen. But Francis was a flame of fire. I mean, he was like a burning flame of love. He was also a very strong and direct teacher. He was very blunt at times, and he was radical. As I've mentioned at various times over the years, just reading some of the things he wrote, he didn't write very much, but what he did write, he wrote to inspire people and to challenge him, and he had a deep sense of the eternal perspective. He lived with a sense of not only the joy of being a child of God, but he also understood the holy fear of God, and he put the holy fear of God in people. And that helped convert some people who became amazing leaders and saints themselves. But we sometimes just have an image of Jesus that doesn't fully correspond to who he actually is and the way he spoke and what he was trying to do. And so Dr. Peter Kraft wrote a book a number of years ago called Jesus Shock, in which he took up a lot of the things Jesus said that are very shocking, that we just kind of, they kind of roll off us like water off a duck's back, and they don't penetrate very deeply. But it's important to let them penetrate, because to hear the words is to see the man, is to understand him more fully. And the more we can understand Jesus, the glorious Son of God, the more it's going to bring life to us. We don't want to be ignorant of Jesus. We don't want to live in impressions of Jesus. We want to know the real Jesus as he presents himself in the Gospels and as the Holy Spirit wants us to understand. So he's being very direct with these religious leaders. He said he's going to go away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sins. So here he's revealing the reality of the sin-sick condition of the human heart. Even the religious leaders, these people who he calls hypocrites at various times, they consider themselves to be the righteous. They're the proprietors over the people of Israel, the religious dimension of the community. He says, "Where I'm going, you cannot come." Then said the Jews, "Will he kill himself, since he says, 'Where I'm going, you can't come'?" He said to them, "You're from below. I'm from above. You are of this world. I'm not of this world." Here's the distinction Jesus makes throughout John's Gospel. This is something that was deep in the heart of John. He must have profoundly internalized this, because he'll say time and again, especially in that intimate prayer in John 17, that long, beautiful prayer that reveals the heart of Jesus and his relationship to the Father and what matters most at that critical time that he's praying for and what he's talking about. And as he's talking about the apostles and the disciples before the Father, he's saying, Father, essentially, I've received who you've given me. You've called them out of the world. They're in the world, but they're not of the world. They have a different relationship to the world now. Why? And then Jesus said, because they received my word. The word that you gave me, Father, they received it. And the receiving of the word, internalizing it, which included, he said, understanding that the Father is the one true God. You know, Jesus, his son, was sent by the Father, and that Jesus is given power over all flesh, over the entire human race. He is literally the Lord of it all. And he said, they've received it, and they received it in this word that I've communicated to them. And then he said, and as a result of their receiving it, the world hates them. It rejects them, just like it hated me, he said. And then he goes on to pray something really important. He says, Father, I don't pray that you take them out of the world, because he wants them to follow in his footsteps to carry on his mission. And he set them up already to see and understand that they were going to suffer like he suffered. They were going to face this great opposition. He said, but what I do pray for, Father, is that you protect them from the devil and the work of the devil. So you see that in the Lord's Prayer as well. The end of the Lord's Prayer, he said, deliver us from evil, from the evil one and the working of evil. He taught all of us who are also following in the footsteps of the apostles as they're following in the footsteps of Christ. He taught us to pray the very prayer he was praying to the Father, relating to him as a Father. It's such a beautiful, beautiful thing that he's brought us into. He says, you're from below, I'm from above. And then he goes on to say, I told you that you would die in your sins, for you will die in your sins unless you believe that I am he. That's a very big statement. It's Jesus, one of those places where Jesus is defining himself as the I am. He is the one. He indeed is who he says he is. The I am who revealed himself to Moses and to Abraham and to the patriarchs. Jesus is declaring he's the central figure. And he's the one that should be followed, obeyed, worshiped, and the like. There's a lot in there. But there's something important for us to see that whole picture. But listen to what Jesus says. Again, I told you that you would die in your sins. He's repeating what he said just, you know, supposedly just a few verses earlier. For you will die in your sins unless you believe that I am he. Friends, this is the central offer or the central theme, one of the very central themes of what Jesus communicates to the world and why the church exists. Really, it's true. Jesus wants to say through his church, unless you believe in me, you will die in your sins. Why? Because the human race is lost. The human race is under the dominion of sin and death. The human race has a sin-sick heart. The human race has a destiny, a dark destiny, apart from God. We're going to be separated from our Creator. And so Jesus has come to offer a way out. That's why he's dying on the cross a few days later, to make himself an offering for sin, to take away sin. This is what the church has to be focused on and has to offer people. The church's main mission is not just to fix the world. It's not just to be, like Pope Francis said, it's not called to be an NGO. We have enough NGOs. We're called to bring the eternal gospel. And this is the centerpiece of the eternal gospel, the offering of eternal life. And how does that come? By believing in Jesus. What does it mean to believe in Jesus? It's to believe first that he is who he says he was, and that his diagnosis about the human heart is true, and that what's needed is a repentance, is an acknowledgement, Jesus, you're right. Lord, forgive me. And turn our hearts to him, surrender our lives to him, enter the waters of baptism, repenting of our sins, and receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit in new life that begins here. So Jesus is being very direct with the religious leaders. He said, they said to him, who are you? Isn't that interesting? Who are you? Jesus said to them, even what I have told you from the beginning, I have much to say about you and much to judge. But he who sent me is true, and I declare to the world what I have heard from him. This is, again, a constant theme of Jesus. Jesus came from the Father. He's come to reveal the Father as the one true God. That's why, again, he's saying here, the one who sent me is true. And he comes to declare to the world what he's heard from the Father. That's what the church is about. The church is meant to be the body of Christ in the earth, is to go to the four corners of the earth to do this very thing and to never stop doing it, to bring people into the understanding of what we've heard from Jesus, who's heard directly from the Father. And that word is life, and that word is true, and that word needs to go forth. There's always resistance to that word in individual human hearts in different ways. There's resistance to it in the broader culture because we're living in enemy-occupied territory. There's great resistance to dimensions of that word right now in our culture, and it's growing, the growing resistance to it. We need to walk through this season of Lent and put ourselves with the apostles and hear the words that Jesus is saying to them as he's preparing them to suffer for the gospel as a normal way of living out the gospel and following Jesus in this world. We've got to get over the hump, friends, that somehow to face opposition, to be marginalized, to be canceled, for there to be a significant cost of following Jesus, like something went wrong, like he's punishing us or he doesn't care or it's unfair. Of course, we'd all prefer to avoid hardship. We don't have to go looking for it. But various times and seasons throughout the history since Jesus has been here, different countries at different times, there's a massive resistance that's risen up. Look what's happening in China. Huge resistance to the gospel. They're trying to control the church at every level and lots of persecution there. So Jesus is saying he's come to declare the truth to a world that wants to reject it. They did not understand that he spoke to them about the Father. This is from John here now. Verse 28, so Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you'll know that I'm he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak thus as the Father taught me. We just talked yesterday about John 15. Jesus said, abide in me as I abide in the Father. He goes, you can't bear fruit unless you're living from me like a branch lives from the vine, and you're called to bear fruit. That's your purpose. Jesus' purpose was to come and to bring this word to the world, to reveal the truth about the Father, to reveal the truth about our destiny and what the true fundamental meaning of life is all about. And Jesus said, you'll know. He said, I speak not on my own authority. It's another way of saying he's abiding in the Father and he receives what comes from the Father. I don't speak in my own authority. A bishop doesn't speak in his own authority. You don't speak in your own authority about the kingdom. We speak in the authority of the Lord because we're baptized into him and we're simply communicating the word that he speaks, which is why it's so important to have the word be clear in what we're saying. And it says, and he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what is pleasing to him. Here, just concluded, this is really the same motive that we ought to live with and a clarity of identity. I'm one who has been sent. He's not left me alone. And I always do what pleases him. That is now the point of my life. And when I stumble and fall, and that doesn't happen, I get right back up. I repent, I press delete, and I keep going, and I keep following to do what pleases the Lord, to walk in his footsteps. That's our call. That's our destiny. Lent is a time to help us lay hold of it again. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.